This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and well, we have a lot to talk about today. And it's all over the place because just about everything seems to be out of order today. I don't understand how, in some cases, we have a well-ordered day, and in some cases, you just can't make heads or tails of it because everything is out of whack. But let's start with this question. If you had the power to do so, would you postpone the national election? And on what grounds would you do that? And that question is asked because it looks like everything is out of whack at the national level in terms of the election. And people want all kinds of reasons to get it on or to get just put it off. Which is it for you, in your view? Number two, it is unacceptable, I think, that we're stuck in the situation of national gridlock. Nothing is moving, and everyone agrees that there's nothing they can do about it. Just hurry up and wait until, you know, it's time. What do we do? It's just an insane situation. We are all looking to each other or at each other, but nobody has an idea of how do we get forward motion at a time like this. We're stuck. There's gridlock. And nothing is getting resolved or done. Just a lot of noise about it. What would it take to get things moving? That's a question. I have another question for you. We will soon have from PepsiCo, that's a company that, as you know, makes Pepsi Cola, a new beverage called Driftwell that will help you relax. Is this a good thing? You know, if you're upset, you're uptight, your nerves are shattered, you just are not centered, you get yourself a can of Driftwell and you drift off to a state of relaxation and you're all calm and everything. So this isn't just a beverage, is it? It occurs to me that it actually might be more than that. And if so, have we moved into the era in which you just drink a can of something and it will calm your nerves, it will calm you down? Is this medicine or is this a beverage or what exactly will this product be? How would it be classified? And should we have it? Because as you know, the one thing Americans do very, very well is abuse stuff. When this thing comes on the market, people will be drinking it because it just will mellow you out. At least this is what is reported. But I don't know that this is a product we should want or we should eagerly anticipate. And I don't know whether the beverage industry has business producing these kinds of products and what will we classify them as? Are they, how should I say, the behavioral aids, or are they, would they be described as medicine, or what would we call them, these new beverages that are coming on the line? 888-874-4888. And there's a lot more to talk about, but I thought I'd throw those few out to see what your reactions are. We have Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of the city of New York, pressing the point that he has $100 million to give to some Democrat to help defeat Donald Trump. So far, apparently no takers. What is that about? Okay, he has $100 million to finance a candidate. What is the trouble exactly with Michael Bloomberg that nobody's saying anything about? So he has $100 million that he's willing to give to someone to finance their campaign against Trump. And so far, it appears that he has no takers. What do you think is happening there? Because it's one thing to just say, well, I have some money, or I would be happy to help finance a person's candidacy. It's another thing to actually produce the stuff. This is evidence. I got it. Here it is, $100 million. But yet no takers? That is most unusual. Francis from Connecticut, you get us started today. You're on the air.
Hi, Latrice. How are you?
Fine, thank you, Francis. How are you?
Hanging here, trying to expand my second sight.
We're all hanging.
Okay, so was listening, had to call in. You mentioned about the that soda from PepsiCo. And
yes.
So me being a science background, and during my career, I was in health and beauty aids and cosmeceuticals, things like that. Once I retired, you know, moved more into food science, nutrition. So when you said soda, you lost me right there. I do not drink soda. That's one of the most dangerous
beverages
that you can actually...
I don't know if I'm right in calling it a soda.
Are they calling it a soda? What are they calling it?
A beverage.
Oh, it's a beverage. Okay, so it's not with the fizzy, but it's, I wonder, did they mention what was in the what this supposedly relaxing ingredient was?
No.
Even more reason to not be drinking it.
No reason. They haven't discussed the ingredients. They're just
saying
that it
hasn't come out yet. They're
just
kind of pre-advertising. No way. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. My thing is, you want to relax. There's all kinds of things you can do relax naturally. I mean, you know, you do some exercising. Is this yoga you're into, or any of those kinds of things?
But that takes effort. And
okay, effort. But does it take effort to just, you know, basically it's like, okay, I'm going to free my mind. I'm going to just listen to my most favorite music, whether it's jazz, classical, country, whatever it is. Do that.
Yeah, that's work. All you
that's
have
work
to
too?
Do, at least in the minds of PepsiCo, is open up a can and drink it.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, I guess I'm not in that, you know, body of people, so they won't get my money.
No money from you.
No, not at all, because I don't drink soda. I drink green tea. I drink filtered water and nut milks. That's what I drink.
You're
that's
just old-fashioned. You're old-fashioned, and you're a stick in the mud. This is a new way to go.
New way, you don't have to work.
You don't have to break a sweat. You just have to pop a can open, or a bottle open, as the case might be, and you'd be relaxing in no time at all.
Relaxing and probably slowly dying, too, of whatever kind of reaction you're going to have against that. No way. It's like... I, you know, kind of follow Gary Nolan and some other people, and I do as much. I'm not a, you know, complete vegan, but I definitely do eat as clean of food as possible. And if that's old fashioned, then call me old fashioned, because I'm healthy. I, aside my eyes, I do not have. I'm not on any medications. I work out 3 times a week, and I'm happy. I'm at peace.
Does this do anything to you in terms of saying, well, what are they trying to do now? What's next?
It's a continuation of people who don't want to read. They want to be told everything. they just, you know, follow along. If anything that I guess they think that's easy, well, if you're going to pop a cap open, then at least drink some green tea or drink some orange juice or do something else that takes as much energy as opening up this cap or whatever it is. Wow. So,
does that scare you?
Well, I see so many things coming down the pike because I'm in my mid-60s now. I've seen a lot of stuff. So, no, this is continuation of the same crap. I remember when I was growing up, and I was always into sciences very early on. I remember they came out with the cyclamates, and that's supposed to be the great thing they had in all the sweeteners and everything.
Cyclamates.
And, yeah, cyclamates. And then you find out after the fact, oh, no, 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 these are dangerous. They took it off the market. Then, of course, it was sweet and low stuff, which was, I'm trying to think, what was the brand name of the generic? But it's like, you know, that's dangerous, too. It's slightly carcinogenic, you know. So it just goes on and on and on. Then the NutraSweet, of course, that's not good for you either. But they had that in everything. I was reading labels all over the place because they brought it out when my kids were really young. And I read all the labels to make sure that they didn't get that because they were putting it in every single product you could think of, anything, yogurt, you know, just anything, just throwing it in there. So this is sweet, but it was NutraSweet. It wasn't even cane sugar, which is another topic, you know, that I try to avoid because actually you can maybe get away with it in small amounts. But once you learn all these things when you're growing up and you – you know, you're taught up one way, and you just have to, you learn and you find new things out. You have to adjust and move along with the facts and everything that come out. Did we know that sugar was bad for us, you know, when we were growing up? No. I know that.
Let's see, what their marketing strategy and
yes,
plan
I'll be interested,
be
and then I'll call back in because I'm telling you right now.
Open up and start popping cans and start relaxing the easy way.
Relaxing.
Thanks for calling in and getting us started today. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family.
Thank you, Patricia. To you too.
I actually heard about this yesterday while I was watching CNBC, so I actually went and researched this to find out what was in it. Because at first I thought, okay, they're somehow putting in some kind of sleep aid, but at a dosage that would not require any investigation or inquiry by the FDA. But actually, no. It's a substance that's called, it's L-theanine, which is a substance that's actually found in green and black tea and mushrooms. So actually, you know, if you really need a sleep aid or you need to de-stress or relax before going to bed, just drink some green tea or black tea or eat some mushrooms. But you know what's happening is that they need a new market because Americans as a whole are drinking less and less soda. And what this is, it's non-carbonated water with this additive in it. So it's nothing more than just water. And so they need to increase the intake of water. And as you know, a lot of the athletes use these, I forget the name, that you know, these water beverages to keep them hydrated. And that, again, that's all that is also. So this is nothing more than just to increase the water market because the soda market has decreased.
But I'm talking about the selling point. The selling point this is just water with a few things added to make you think that it is extra nutritious water. But they're selling very strongly the idea that this could mellow you out and cause you to relax.
And that
it is being mass marketed that way. At least that's the plan.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And I think it's going to behoove those of us with a little bit more insight to share with folks that we know about the fact that this is nothing more than a marketing ploy to get your dollars. That's really all it is.
Well, yes, it is. It troubled me, though, the angle that they're taking, which is, although subliminal, it is blatant. It's saying, we know how to get you to relax. You just pop the cap on this bottle, and or this can, and you drink its contents, and you mellowed out. So there.
Your point is well taken, because I remember a few years ago when they marketed pills for that very same reason. If, I don't know if you remember all of the sleeping agents that were advertised on TV and on the radio. You know, you're having trouble sleeping, just pop a pill and mellow out, and you'll wake up in the morning well rested. When in fact, there was such a hangover from these medicines that some people died, some people became addicted, and some people actually caused serious bodily harm. So your point is very well taken. I mean, these sleep aids were eventually taken off the market, and I think it's going to behoove the scientific community to respond to this in the very same way that they responded to those pills.
But there's also a hint about something that we need to keep note of, and that is, what is happening to us that even a beverage industry is motivated to launch a whole product line on the premise that we are so uptight, we are so unable to relax, we are so stressed, that this new industry, are they spawning a new industry based on the fact that we are super stressed, and do we expect more of this kind of response to the perceived stresses that people are trying to deal with?
Yeah, they're really taking advantage of COVID-19, because there's no question that people are literally at their wit's end right now with not only their health issues, but their economic issues, and people are truly stressed at this particular point. And it's nothing more than taking advantage of what's occurring nationally in response to COVID-19.
Well, let's see what they do and how they launch this product and what the larger reaction is within the communities. But it was very troubling, I thought, and at the same time instructive, because it means that there are industries that are picking up on the state of affairs with regular folk. We are stressed out of our minds. We have to find something to calm us down. We are heading in that direction. And maybe this is an indication that PepsiCo is ahead of the curve in responding by producing this product that will help solve our problems. But is it just that? Is it more than that?
My concern is that, unlike the pills that you had to get a prescription for from your provider, this is going to be, number one, over-the-counter, and number two, cheap, which means you're marketing it to people within their financial means to get it. And that's the issue. And that's the concern. You don't have to go to a provider to get this. All you have to do is go to your local supermarket.
That's amazing. Is this, in your view, a kind of crossing of the line here? Or are they tempting fate with this kind of thing to take us all over the edge, that there are ways that we can solve our own problems, and here's PepsiCo to the rescue, bringing to the public a very convenient and natural and logical way, without harming your body. You can just pop the cork and you're calm again. You're in control of yourself.
The problem, though, right now is, the reality is, number one, people have lost their health insurance, so they can't access what we would consider regular routine, you know, mental health assistance. And even if they do have insurance, it's difficult to access any healthcare right now. And so the systems that people would have utilized before have somewhat broken down. And what PepsiCo is recognizing is that that system has collapsed, and they're going to fill the void.
Well, let's watch this, because it's supposedly coming to a supermarket near you.
Yeah, it's supposed
Thanks
to
a lot, Patricia, for calling in. Ma'at from New York City, you're on the air.
Yes, greetings to the beloved family.
Thank you.
First of all, I couldn't quite hear. Did you say whether it had a name? I couldn't, that they gave it a
yes,
name.
Yes, it's called Dream, what is it called here? Driftwell. Driftwell.
Driftwell. Wow, that's bizarre. Yeah. As I'm hearing this, it can't help but remind me of Brave New World. They had, in there was a product that the public took called Soma, right? And it's almost somewhat similar, because when you started to say Dream, but then you said it was Drift, say the name again?
Driftwell, one word, Driftwell.
Right, Driftwell, W-E-L-L at the end?
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting, because Soma, I think what that referred to is something that goes back to ancient times, and it has to deal with dream or an alternate state of reality. And so that kind of lines up. I tell you, we live in bizarre times, no question about it. Brave New World and Soma, and we are here. I also want to speak to, you said Bloomberg is looking for a way to spend his $100 million. Maybe he should go to Florida, or is he already dealing in Florida?
Well, Florida is where he's targeting.
Yeah,
he's
Florida
is where his money is most needed right now.
Right, he thinks so. And the appeals court decided to reverse 64% of the Florida public voted to re-enfranchise. I don't know if that's a word, but in other words, people who have felony record, I think is 1.2 or 3 million, somewhere in there. And they kind of also caught them in a catch-22, because they're this appeals court now with Trump judges, I think it's the Second Circuit, demanding that people pay these fines before they can exercise that franchise. However, the state has no cogent assessment of giving people what they owe. So it's sort of like between a rock and a hard place, but maybe he should put his money to pay those fees if they can figure out what they are. So that those, you know, that could really tip the scale. And no, I don't see putting, your third question, I don't see putting the election off, although you're absolutely right. It's a big mess. Please give us your thoughts on this Michael Caputo, who's, I'm sure you follow, he's come out with get ammunition, that when Trump, they're going to insist that he be inaugurated, and that the left is going to kill me and have an armed insurrection. I mean, we're in la-la land. Have you heard about, and he's supposed to be the communications director of the CDC, so he's also, they have a publication called, I think it's MMWR, and he's been editing it and changing it so that it conforms with Trump's opinions of the virus, the same way the intelligence community had to change that the most lethal threat was white supremacy to just the violent domestic terrorism, so that they can blame Antifa and Black Lives Matter. So where is,
why do you think there is, I mean, a guy has $100 million, it's not like any candidate thinks that they have enough money. Why doesn't he have any takers so far? say, for example, Biden?
I couldn't answer that. I think Biden, I just hope he, I don't know what to say about him. He seemed like he's off the rail at times. You know, gave Trump credit for reading, which he didn't, nobody researched the fact that Trump had talked to Xi of China. And that's how he had learned that it's very lethal, very dangerous, airborne, et cetera. Yet Kamala Harris repeats Joe Biden not even knowing the facts or something and giving Trump credit where it's not even due that he reads. And he also hasn't dealt with something so pernicious. Haven't heard anybody speak too much of this. But David Underhill, I think it is. It's either Underhill or Underwood. Black federal officer that was targeted by a white supremacist Air Force staff sergeant, active staff sergeant. He was caught early on, and I think he killed another federal officer. But both Pence and Trump and Biden, they haven't addressed the fact that they brought the sister to the RNC, supposedly to honor her and to grieve her dad's death, but at the same time, the omission that this was Stephen Carrillo of the Boogaloo, we want a second war, white supremacist, while at the same time, the omission points to BLM and Antifa. I tell you, things.
That's bizarre what's going on out there. It really is. Thanks for contributing today. Thank you.
Yes.
Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Hello, you three. How are you?
Okay, Ed. What's going on in your world?
Well, same old, me and my son. Still here. Still hanging on. Pertaining to your question as far as Bloomberg is concerned, I'm of the opinion that nobody really wants to be associated with a millionaire. Nobody wants to take his money because they don't want to be beholden. There is definitely a division in the populace as far as with the wealth gap. And Trump has given millionaires a bad name. So nobody wants to associate themselves with that. The Poor People's Campaign had a special last night on online. And there are a lot of people out there that don't appreciate millionaires. They're getting the snidely whiplash of the bygone eras. I don't know if you remember Arnell, all those old films from the 1920s and 30s where you had the villain had the stovepipe hat. And he was the banker. He was the railroad guy that wanted to take over Arnell's farm. And that's when rich guys had a bad rep, and Trump is giving them that rep. So that's why I honestly believe nobody's touching Bloomberg's money at this point. They might have to find a way to get it, but it won't be seen that way. It'll be like a grant or a loan or something that takes him out of the picture. But nobody will directly take any money from a millionaire at this point because they're the bad guys, which, in my opinion, they should be.
But Bloomberg went into this early enough to indicate that he is a born-again Democrat. So it would be like Democrats taking money from a Democrat. It's not, he's no ordinary millionaire. He belonged to the club.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, that you can wrap it any way you want it, but the bottom line is he's another rich guy trying to pull strings, using his money to give him some type. The amount of money you have doesn't give you any type of moral authority or any type of merit. If you don't have a background in public service, if you don't have a background in helping people, all the money in the world doesn't make you a genius. It doesn't make you a philanthropist. It makes you a person with a lot of money. And most people that have a lot of money want to secure that money and get more money. And that's I think a lot of people are beginning to see that. And there's no value in money as far as character, as far as how you made
it. Come on, this is politics. There is value in money. It solves a lot of problems.
it can solve a lot of problems. But what I'm saying is, what I'm saying to you is that the people with the money at this time are not inclined to help or be on the side of the common person. And I think a lot of people are seeing that. And these politicians want to get votes. That's the bottom line. And they don't want to affiliate themselves with another multimillionaire who's going to be pulling the strings behind the scenes. So that's why I think Bloomberg is having a hard time in getting his money accepted, even though he claimed to be a Democrat. He switched from a Republican to a Democrat to a Libertarian to this to that. He flip-flops so much that you don't know what he is. And the bottom line is money doesn't – I hope that this is a sign that money doesn't have the power, or money is losing its power in the political spectrum that it should not have to begin with.
Okay, that's fair. But just the same, it's $100 million. And it could help a person who doesn't have $100 million go a long way toward winning an election. Why is he having such difficulty getting rid of his $100 million?
Like I said, I don't think that that's going to play a big part in this election. I think that a lot of people are upset with what's going on, and they're scared. And if you can get to the swing states and you can appeal to those unclaimed voters, then Trump has a hardcore following. He's got there 40,000-50,000 people scattered between these swing states, the Florida, the Pennsylvania, but there is another undecided core out there that doesn't agree with what he's doing. And if you can reach them, and that's not going to be so much with money, it's going to be boots on the ground, it's going to be going out there, knocking on doors, convincing people that they have a common interest in this man not being in office anymore. That's the only way you're going to win this thing. You got to get out there in those swing states, you got to swing those people, you got to get to Wisconsin, you got to get to Pennsylvania, you got to get to Florida, you got to get those people that won't vote, that weren't going to vote for anybody, and get them to come out, even if it's only to vote against this guy. You've got to convince them of that, and that you can't do on the television. You got to do that face to face.
Well, there's only what 50 odd days left before the election. You mean nobody is desperate enough to say, "Look, I mean, let's look at reality here." I may be highly principled and everything, but 100 mil is 100 mil. I'm going for it.
I mean, if you want to put it in your pocket, I mean, but the bottom line is, unless you can make that push in those swing states and change the mathematics of this thing, it's already over. Because there's a core that's going to come out and vote for Trump, whether he got on stage and admitted to everything, or he said, yeah, they're going to vote for him. You know, the guy can walk on water to them. And if you can't get those undecided, those people that are not going to vote at all because they're fed up with this garbage and they just want to disconnect themselves, and you can't give them something to come out and override those numbers in those key states, we're going to have 4 more years of this term.
So is there a sense that Trump's base is not only loyal, but it's growing? Or is there a sense that they're standing by their man?
I don't think it's growing, but I think that the people that are, I'm in New York, so can't get a barometer. I know some people down south. I know some people in Florida and a couple of people, my old Army buddies in Michigan. We stay in contact through Facebook and emails, things like that. And a lot of the guys in those swing states, they're telling me, you know, people willing to give this guy another shot. But there is a bunch of people that are just disconnected from politics. They're fed up with it. They think everybody's corrupt. They don't see any light at the end of the tunnel, and they're just not going to vote. And those are the people that Biden and Kamala Harris and the Democratic Party should have been reaching out to from the beginning. They did the same thing with Hillary. They didn't go to those people. They didn't get on the ground and push and get in their face and let them know, give the people what they want. They didn't do that. And they're making the same mistake again. That's why I want to say, I really believe they want this guy to win. I mean, they're making the same mistakes they made in 2016. They're playing this thing the same way.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for your contribution today. Very insightful. Lee from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, I think that the money should be taken, whether it's taken by the Biden people or if it's taken by the civil libertarians, and pay off the so-called debt that's due in Florida and give these people a right to vote.
Well, that raises a very interesting and intricate question. If you pay off the debt, like Florida requires that people who had served time, that they pay the fines that accrued because of the crimes that they commit before they can have their votes restored. Isn't that, in fact, literally buying a vote?
No. And I say no for the simple reason that there's states where people are in prison and they do not lose their right to vote. I think it needs to be mandated by this time, by the federal government, that there be one set of laws for voting and that states don't have a right to interfere. Let the federal government set voting, period, end of story. States shouldn't have the right to do all the nonsense that they are doing.
Yes, but this is at a higher level, supposedly. This is at the federal level. Can the federal government override the Constitution as is practiced and upheld all throughout the nation? If, as a former prisoner, you have a bill to pay in order to make restitution for your crime, and you can't vote until you do pay that bill.
And that particular requirement went into effect within the last month or so, right?
No, it's been around for quite a while. You have an obligation to pay your bill, whatever it is you owe, as part of your punishment to the state. You have an obligation to pay.
In other words, and do I understand this correctly? Because I was under the impression that what it meant was that you have to pay the costs that incurred during the course of your incarceration.
Even so.
Well, that's ludicrous.
The fact is that there is a cost you have to pay, or else you cannot vote. At least this is the reading. You are obligated to discharge that because it is, according to the state at least, a legitimate debt that you have because you committed a crime and because you incurred for the state certain costs in order to try you, to bring you to trial.
Okay. Perhaps an investigation needs to be made into the state to find out over the last 50 years how many people that had prior arrests for felony have been allowed to vote. Prior to the people that have newly moved into the state who served their time elsewhere and are being disenfranchised. Let's do a deep investigation to find out what that's all about. Is this just a selective time that they will institute this law? I never heard of a law like that. Okay, and the fact that they want to institute it now, right, bears investigation.
They don't want to institute it. They want to enforce it.
Well,
it's already been instituted. They want to enforce the law because that would help the political parties keep the opposite or the enemies off the voting rolls.
Exactly.
That would help them.
Exactly.
But the question is it an unconstitutional thing to do? Should people be made to pay their so-called debt incurred as a result of the crime they allegedly committed and were convicted of in order to have their voting rights restored? That's a question. Is it not tantamount to basically stifling the vote? If a person can't pay that bill, it means that you have terminated or you have severely curtailed their right to be active voters.
Well, you know something? I am not knowledgeable about this particular law, but I'd like to know, is this something that's instituted in the Constitution, or is this just a rule and law of Florida, the state of Florida?
State of Florida, this is purely a state action. This is not in the U.S. Constitution at all.
Okay, well, this is something that needs to be investigated.
I agree.
You know, but
in the meantime,
I think it will be effective when
you think of the numbers of people who have been convicted of crimes, who even after conviction are not able to discharge this debt. This is an eternal debt that hangs over them, but it impedes their ability to go on and fulfill their rights as citizens, including the right to vote. And that is a question as to whether it's fair to have this kind of impediment that would follow people for a substantial period of their lives or all of their lives and prevent them from becoming, again, full citizens.
That's my point exactly. It's criminal. It's criminal that they're doing this and being allowed to get away with it. And I say it really needs to be investigated. And the state of Florida needs to be put on trial.
Well, I don't know
if this is Florida,
it is worth raising the question because we're talking potentially about hundreds of thousands of people over the years who have been affected by this. And it's a fundamental constitutional question, which has not been resolved. But it is so clear that it is meant to deprive or further deprive certain people, those with criminal records and those with this kind of debt hanging over their heads, from participating in their supposed civil rights.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you for your call today. Thanks so much. Well, we have one good thing that happened. So far, at least that's the reading, and that is that in the Breonna Taylor case, the case of the emergency medical technician who was killed during a no-knock, the service of a no-knock warrant for her boyfriend, supposedly at the time, in which the police burst into her home and she was killed tragically. The state has decided to settle. We don't know the details of the settlement, but there was a decision to settle this case. And the more we know, probably we'll know a lot more by tomorrow, what the terms of the settlement are and whether the settlement itself was a fair thing to do. On the one hand, you could say yes, because she was wrongfully killed. She was wrongfully killed and killed in a procedure which there are many questions about. How do you have no-knock service of warrants that by their very nature, you can say, are very dangerous procedures and could result in loss of life, as it did here in her case. So we have to know what some of the terms are of this settlement. And really, to what degree is the state going to continue this business of no-knock warrants? And whether it is going to discontinue it. And we have a lot of questions, but we need to have a little bit more information on it. But so far, there is a settlement announced in this case, the terms of which we do not know at this time. So that was one development. And we have the further development that the courts have granted President Trump the power and authority to force at least 400,000 immigrants out of the country. So the question there is, how could the court summarily take people's rights away like that? And number two, the racial implications here, because we know that this is a targeted issue. It is targeted at people of color generally, and we will look at that tomorrow. Thanks so much for joining me today, and let's join each other again tomorrow and continue the conversation at 888-874-4888, and we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.